My word is proven by my actions. My word is proven by my actions. My word is proven by my actions. How many people would like to have their word stand for itself and then they go and do what they please? It reminds me of so many people who are goody-goody people, and then when they go in the airport and they're away from home, they go to the airport pornographic book sale department and check through all of the pornographic books and buy a couple and read them and then dispose of them before they're found out. Now, what sort of action is that? What sort of feeling does that person have? They must surely have a feeling of guilt. I observe people, and I observe people, what people are doing, sometimes little old lady, sometimes young and old, and they go to these various racks in the booksellers of the in the airport, you know, just before you enter the plane. And they select very cautiously the different books, and then they start reading them very quickly before they even get to the sellout, the checkout line. And they're very eager for it. Now, what are they doing? They're doing what they're not allowed to do at home, at least what they do not want their proven actions to show them doing at home, because they don't want people at home to think that that is the correct thing to do. But of course, when they're away, when the cats are away, the mice will play, as the saying goes. So when they're away from home and nobody knows them, and they're in a an atmosphere where they are sort of immune, not immune, they're invisible, what I'm trying to say, they have anonymity, nobody knows who they are, then you have a really good idea of who they are. Now, I'm not looking at these people to judge them. I'm just looking at these people to see what sort of an outpicturing they have in their physical body, in their clothing, in their attitudes, in their age, in their lifestyle. And as I look at them, I see very pleasant-looking people, people who are very orderly, people who apparently are wealthy enough to fly and wealthy enough to go to the bookstore and buy these magazines and so forth. I don't see any people who are, you might say, on the edge of wealth or on the edge of poverty. People who can't afford it, they are not over there doing that. These are people who can afford to be contrary to what they say they believe. My word is proven by my actions. You say, well, Herb, why are you so nosy about that sort of thing? I'm not nosy about anything. I'm just observing. And as I observe things, I have people come to me and say, oh, I would never do anything like that. Or I would never do this, or I would never do that. And I say, don't protest. Don't protest. Don't tell me you would never do something, and then in the same breath you would say something unkind about another person. Don't tell me that you would never hurt another person, and then in the same breath you tell a story about another person which is not very pleasant. And even about your wife. Men oftentimes speak about their wives in disparaging manners, and they wonder why their relationship at home is not very pleasant. And women too. They belittle their husbands, and then they wonder why their husbands are not very pleasant to be with. They belittle them in their women's groups or in the presence of other people, wherever they may be. And, of course, this doesn't create for a very harmonious world. So, our word should be proven by our actions. If we say we love our husband, we should always speak kindly of him. If we want to say something to him to amend some situation, we do it privately. If we say we love our wife, we should speak kindly about her at all times. And if we ever have something unkind to say or something that needs to be said, we think, speak it privately with her. This is a respect for yourself and for the other person. The reason that it's a respect for yourself and the other person is that why would you choose to have anybody in your world who was not perfect? Why would you choose to marry someone who's not perfect? Why would you choose to have a friend who is not perfect? Someone that you say, Oh, that's just a boyfriend I have. I have no other boyfriend at the moment. I just go with him. And, well, why do you go with him? Well, he loves me and he wants to be with me. And so he loves you and wants to be with you. And you talk about him like that. Well, what's that all about? Well, whenever I have a fallout with any of my boyfriends, or whenever I have a fallout, and after each marriage, he was always there to pick up the pieces and help me put my life back together. And he just was always there to be nice and to share with me. And what have you done for him? Well, he's been a nice dog. He's been a nice puppy dog that I can pet, you know, and that I can rub my feet on and things like that. Well, have you ever thought of respecting him a little more as he respects you? Has he ever spoken unkindly about you? Why, he doesn't know anything unkind about me. Do you know anything unkind about him? Well, he just lets me walk on him. Well, why does he let you walk on him? He lets me walk on him because he doesn't have a high opinion of himself. And I said, well, how is he going to get a high opinion of himself if you don't cooperate? I've had a number of relationships with different people who had this relationship in their life, and they would come and discuss it with me and counsel and work with me on these things. And I would always tell them, I'd say, my goodness sakes, here's someone who worships the ground you walk on, who loves you devotedly, and you go and run around with these people who dump you after they get to know you. You don't realize when you have something good here. You don't realize when you have something that is really a blessing to you. And this is true. Our word is proven by our actions. This, and each of these times it was a lady, but each of these ladies just used that fellow who worshipped her, the fellow who always wanted to, you know, have her, although he never felt he was worthy of her. And this girl always went back to him because she respected him and respected that he respected her and loved her. But she didn't recognize that this was the relationship that she always was looking for. And the reason we have a relationship that we're always looking for is what? Is what? Is that we think that we want what the movies have. We think we want what the sitcoms have, what the daily serials have on television. And we see all those things so beautiful and so wonderful. And we don't really realize that that's just for show. That's just on the surface. That's not real. There are no people who live like that. Every one of the sitcoms are made up of a group of different people and their lifestyles. If any one person had a lifestyle like that, they would not have a very harmonious life. So, what is your word? What word do you live by? Now, Sylvia has just told me that I could have a copy of this little sheet that she made out. And what does it say on the sheet? Sylvia, can you read it?
All is in divine order. That is my normal path in life.
All is in divine order. That is my normal path in life. Now, is Sylvia going to be walking that path? Is that her new clarion call? Is that her new way, or if not a new way, is that her continuing way of how she's going to live? Is Sylvia going to live every single moment always in divine order? Is she going to say every time she has a task before her, always in divine order, and then go and do it? And is she going to say the other phrase there, that this, that is the normal path in life? In other words, if out of the 6 billion people on earth, say 5.5 billion were having trouble all the time, there'd be a problem. There'd be a big problem. But the 5.5 billion people are not having problems. Only the 0.5 billion, that's a lot of people. Only the 0.5 billion, or less, probably quite a bit less, only 1 million or so of people are having real problems. When you go to the medical reports for the United States, and they say in the United States 2 million people are experiencing this, 1 million people are experiencing that, 1 million people are experiencing this, 10 million people are experiencing these, and you say, well, 10 million people, that's quite a few. But when you look at the population of the United States, it's a very minute percentage of it. And it's not that each one of those 1 million, 10 million people are not important. Certainly you feel you're important, and I feel I'm important, and that we should certainly have all of the guidance, help, and medical advice that we can get whenever it's necessary. But when you look at it, when I was in the Navy, I told you the story often, and I'd come back from Liberty with the rest of the kids that I was with. We were all 18 or 19, and we came back from Liberty, and we had our ice cream, and we went to the movies, and we did our normal things, and that's what pleased us. That's what was fun. And then the older guys, or the guys who played games, they'd come back and say, oh, they did this, they did that, they did the other thing. And we knew they didn't. But we knew the guys who came back with a smile on their face and went directly to bed, they were the ones who did. They were the ones who had the fun, who had the enjoyment. They didn't have to talk about it. It was written all over them that they had had a very satisfying liberty. And they had done all the things, if not all the things, many of the things that pleased them very much. And they were very happy about it. And the guys who were talking about it, oh, they were just bragging and bragging, and they were, and each time they would tell the story, it had another twist to it. You know, it would have another little flavor to it, as they'd have another group of people who were more innocent and more guile, you know, more, they could fool them easier. They'd add a few more things to it. And then when they talked to the officers or to older people, they would tone it down a little bit and say, you know. But it all depends on who they were speaking to, who they could tell the story to, and who they could fool. Now, did these fellows think that all of us who enjoyed ice cream and movies and were not into drinking and other things, did they think that we were stupid? No. We may not have been experienced, but we weren't stupid. We knew what made the world go round. We went to enough classes in the Navy to learn what things to do and what things not to do. And they should have known that we were just sort of snickering behind their back at the stories that they told us, because the stories made no sense. Plus the fact, some of them tried to pretend they were Don Juans. They were great lovers, you know. And we knew that they couldn't get a girl to look at them if they held a $5,000 bill in their hand. You know, 500 at that time would have been great too. But you know, nobody, no girl would give them a second glance, because they just have no charisma, no personality. You've seen the kind, you know, the guys who have just no pizzazz about them at all. They're nice. One day they'll find a girl who wants no pizzazz, and they'll make a wonderful couple. But to go around shouting things that are not so and having to live up to them later is quite interesting. It is better to say what your words are going to be proven by your actions to be, to say what you actually are doing, rather than to go around telling stories of what you wished would happen. And that's really something. That's really something. Like in the story of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, Jonathan said to Sullivan, Sully, I have to go back. I have to go back to show them what I learned. And Sully said, but John, you can't. They cannot see. And Jonathan said, but I must. Now, and he went back. And he shared with them what he could. But he realized that only someone on their own level of consciousness could teach them, and they would learn. Someone on a higher level of consciousness, it's true, they wouldn't see what he had to share. He gave them all these wonderful things, and they looked at him with confusion. And so then he taught his chief students how to teach, and they went out, and they too realized that the worship they had for Jonathan was the worship they would soon be having from their students. Live by your word. Whatever your word may be, live by your agreements, your promises, your standards, and never do anything that's going to go contrary to who you say you are, because you won't like yourself if you do. And the world will look at you and snicker, and the world will look at you and say, They think I should trust them when I see how they're acting and talking. They think that I should put my confidence in them when they do things like that. You see, our word is very important. And it must and always is proven by our actions. Sometimes your word is that I will do and you don't. And that proves that your word is not worth anything. And when you say, I will do and I do, then people say, your word is worth something. That's important. I love you.